Welcome to The B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, The B Show, a wrestling podcast, brings to you a special guest. Dixon is out this week. Well, he might be out this week. This is part one. This is the producer side. This is Fancy J, and I'm here with my special guest.
What up, what up, what up?
What's your name?
T Forbes.
T Forbes. T Forbes is in the house.
Garbage foot, one flop.
Yes, yeah, you've heard. Not Pony Boy. What do they call him? Yeah, Pony Boy, right? What do they call over in New Japan Wrestling? The Stable Boy? Young Man. Young Boy.
Young Boy.
Yeah, you're our young boy for this podcast. So you're a young boy. This is part one. I'm hoping to have a two-part podcast this week. Dixon is looking to join me on Sunday. He's got a bit of a chaotic week. I've been sick. Dixon's been sick. And then with both of our lives, just a little bit of chaos during the holiday time. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that we at least had one show. We didn't do anything last week, so I wanted to make sure we had one for this week. So I got our young boy here. So Dixon doesn't know we're recording this, so you'll probably hear his genuine reaction on the part two.
Oh, yeah.
If there is one. That being said, I'm excited because it gives a little bit of a different viewpoint on wrestling. This show will be geared a little bit more around wrestling than Dixon and I do. And the reason for that is because now I have somebody who enjoys women's wrestling.
To an extent.
But you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you like everything that happens, but you enjoy it.
There's parts that I like.
So we'll dive right into that. I did want to do a little recap in case there is no part two this week. Fantasy football update. Dixon and I finished basically tied. We both were 9-4. I was in fourth place. He was in fifth. I beat him head to head, and I had more points on the season. All that means absolutely nothing because we meet in the first round of the playoffs, which is this weekend. And I'm going to say I'm probably going to lose my hair. I had two guys go in Thursday night's game, Kansas City versus the Raiders. And both of my guys, Spencer Ware and Amari Cooper, sucked taint. So I think I got 13 points together for them.
Say hello to Baldy J.
So I'm going to have a sweet mohawk for a week and then a chrome dome. Got a Bickett. Never done it before. So not looking forward to that. Dixon's already talking smack. So if we record part two, it'll be during the games on Sunday. So that should be fun. So that's a little fantasy football update. Next week you will hear all about it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about TLC. We didn't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. I mean, Dixon and I will talk about it a little bit, but for your viewpoint, what did you think of the pay-per-view that happened on Sunday night?
I thought it was great. You know, SmackDown tends to show up for these pay-per-views, and I like a lot of the storylines that are going on right now, especially, you know, I think AJ is he might be the greatest in the ring in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I think he's right up there with Shawn Michaels. I think you got to give Shawn Michaels a little bit of the edge, but I mean, AJ he's been around forever, it seems. He wrestled in TNA over in New Japan. He's been all over the indies. He wrestled for 2CW, Dixon's company, and he's just an artist in the ring, I guess you could say. And, you know, that match was great. We can run down the matches if you want. But overall, I'd give it a solid, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I thought it was a really solid show. Yeah, there's just something about SmackDown that the shows feel shorter in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by faster. There's not as much filler. And the matches were all pretty compelling storytelling-wise. On top of that with the wrestling. We can go with the tag teams. I mean, it started out the show, Rhino and Heath Slater lost their belts to Orton and Wyatt. No surprise there. I thought it was pretty cool ending to the match. And listen, they got a great thing going with the Wyatts and Orton. My only thing is I feel like Orton looks too much of an oddball. The way that he looks, he still dresses like regular Randy Orton. I feel like at any moment he's going to turn on him, or they're still trying to play that is he or isn't he. If he's going to be full Wyatt family, which I love, and I think it's really cool for Bray's character and for Randy's character, a change, have him go like full Wyatt. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't want to grow a beard, have him change his outfit, change his look so he fits more into it. But they just announced on SmackDown that they're going to be doing the Freebird style. So all three
New Day
will now be in it. So that's pretty cool for them. So it looks like they'll be around for a while. But that was a fast, quick match, but pretty good.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. There were a few things I really enjoyed, namely Randy Orton's power slam on Heath Slater. It looks so smooth when Slater went to do the old springboard maneuver off the top rope. And one thing I want to say about Bray Wyatt is I always loved his character and, you know, like the Fireflies thing with the entrance and everything. But his dreadlocks just like put a little bow on his entire character. I think it just makes it like perfect. I think I tweeted at you saying something like these dreads just like top off the character. And I know it's just kind of small and, you know, there's a lot more to the character than it is. But his appearance, I mean,
he looks more badass.
And he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, like when I was little, Undertaker and Kane kind of freaked me out. If I was little right now, Bray Wyatt would probably give me nightmares.
But the problem is that he's face, and everybody loves face. Him.
And another thing is I like had to Google Bray Wyatt and like his championship achievements because I didn't realize that it was his first title. Like I should have known that, but at the same time,
really?
Like,
I didn't
how
know
did
that.
He not?
First, like it's first title with an E.
First title in general in WWE.
That makes sense.
And it's a tag title. I think he should probably get like the IC title or maybe.
Well, it's usually if he has a really strong run here, then that, you know, when they have the match to separate them and the beef between the two, then that'll catapult Wyatt. I think that the unsung here. There's two things what I love about this trio. One. It adds a new repertoire of RKOs that Orton can incorporate. Instead of him just trying to do it, he can play off the other two guys and do it in new and different ways, which I love. And two is, and I know he's a friend of the podcast. I've never met him, but Luke Harper is the unsung hero of this.
Oh, yeah.
What he does with his facial expressions and his side glances towards Randy, his eyes do more acting than half of the freaking superstars on the rosters. And so, like, I think he is so good. I'm really glad that they're able to do the Freebirds with them and incorporate him into it more. And so, you know, Randy or Bray can take a night off. Bray's look with his, I think he comes with like a leather jacket now.
Yeah.
So much different than, you know, the Creole Southern style with the porch buttoned up shirt and all that. I'm liking what they're doing. I mean, unfortunately, there's not a lot of competition because it looks like American Alpha and the Usos are going to be battling.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they go and who they can go against. You know, maybe there's a nice little call up from NXT that could be nice between those two guys. A certain group that lost the titles,
sure.
Most recently, see if they can make a call up. The other match, Kalisto.
Real quick, before we get into that, we're talking about directions as to how, you know, this Wyatt storyline is going to end up. I think it opens up two great options, either or, when Orton finally turns, or if Bray or Luke turn on Orton. Those two matches right there, either Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for a while or Luke Harper versus Randy Orton, they're going to be fantastic matches.
Question for you. Not knowing any of the call-ups, if you are WWE booking, you're creative, do you keep this tag team together all the way through WrestleMania and have a beef with another team, or do you keep it together all the way through Rumble February and have them break up and then have an Orton-Wyatt match at Mania?
I wouldn't mind the Orton Wyatt match at Mania, but at the same time, since, you know, the Wyatts are kind of face right now, I wouldn't mind waiting a little while and then have Revival come up because they're those kind of smarky heel jerk. Just they play like the perfect heel role.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And you know, they're outspoken on Twitter and things like that you didn't get back in the day. Obviously, they didn't have Twitter, but you know, the kayfabe is very alive with Twitter these days, even though, you know, Revival will tweet something kind of snarky at the same time when like Charlotte and Sasha will do like a selfie together on the beach. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that kind of annoys me, but at the same time,
they got a lot of heat for that too.
Yeah. I think the Revival could be a great storyline for the Wyatts eventually. But I wouldn't be upset if it turned into Bray and Orton at WrestleMania.
You know, it all depends on my point of view. It all depends on who the call-ups are for NXT or if they sign anybody, because the roster is going to be, the Mania card is going to be already stacked. So do you go with them against an Usos or American Alpha for the belt, or do you build up that Alpha Usos for the belt, and then therefore you take your other two of your top four stars that are on the roster and pin them against each other, which would have a lot of heat, and it turns one of them heel, one of them face. I guess if you want to keep, are you turning Randy heel? Are you turning Bray heel? That type of thing. But it's, what's nice about it is there's options. And like, we don't know. That's the most exciting thing about wrestling and the storytelling, is that when you can't predict and you don't know and you see where it goes. I don't really care about what you thought about Kalisto and Corbin match. What do you like what they're doing with Corbin, and do you see him having a good future on SmackDown?
See, it's tough because he's been...
Are you a Wolf fan?
He's been taking on Kalisto for literally like 4 months, if not longer now, and I'm getting kind of tired little of that dudes feud. Too.
Ziggler for like 5 months before that.
He needs like legitimate competition. Like, you know, I...
But there's nobody on the roster right now.
He gets a lot of slack. He gets a lot of slack. Hold on a second. I'll edit this out. Is show... Yeah. Show's on SmackDown, Raw. Right? He's on Raw?
He was just on Raw.
Yep. All right. The thing with...
You don't have to edit that out, man. I forget stuff all the time, brother.
The thing with Baron Corbin is he could use a feud with someone like The Big Show, who's another big guy, and I know that, you know, Show's on Raw and Corbin's on SmackDown, but he needs someone his size. Like, you know, they say pick on someone your own size. That's what needs to happen with Corbin. Like, he needs someone to actually challenge him by his strength. Obviously, like, his end of days is easy to hit on Kalisto and someone like Dolph Ziggler, but let's see him do an end of days to, like, Big Show or Mark Henry or something like that. I know they're both on Raw, but, you know, that could be something to think about in the future, is actually have him go up against someone who's the same size as him, if not bigger.
I like your idea of a big guy. I agree with you. The only issue is that, I mean, would they kind of have the equivalent of Big Show with Kane? Mm-hmm. And I would be so bored with that match.
Yeah.
Now, if you could get him against a Roman Reigns, I would be excited to see what he could do with Reigns in the ring. I mean, their storyline and promos might be a little boring and stale, but at least it's something different for both guys. Obviously, they're on a separate show. So if there's a guy that they're looking to sign or call up, or, you know, somebody that's on the roster that you're not really seeing that could be that a younger, bigger guy, I just feel like I've seen Kane and Big Show and all those dudes in the ring so much that it's just like, eh. But I mean, I've never been a big Corbin fan, but I like his edge that he has. It doesn't feel as forced like with Reigns and other guys where they try to make it into a badass. He legitimately seems like a badass. And I didn't realize that, A, he was a football player. I didn't know he played in the NFL. And I didn't realize that he was, a Golden Gloves boxer, and he knows like jujitsu. Something. I'm like, dude, this dude is a badass.
He's really, he's like, a badass, and he's really talented.
That's awesome, and they're doing it in the right way as far as building him up to be a badass.
Yeah, he plays that gimmick really well, and maybe it's just his personality really coming out, and he's not just playing a gimmick. Maybe it's actually the way that he is, because he kind of comes off as an asshole.
He does. He looks,
and
like
that's
it
the way
too.
It should be with his character. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that what's also helping him is the talking smack.
Yeah.
Him being able to go on there and just, you know, undress Daniel Bryan and be able to talk using his own words. I mean, the great thing about that show is it's not scripted. You know, there's bullet points, but it's these guys can say and women can say what they want and how they want. And I think that's why his character's been popping over the last month, is because he's had a couple opportunities on the show. Well, because I don't get a lot of time talking women's wrestling with my partner in crime, DXN, I wanted to talk to you about the, first of all, the Carmelo Black Eye. Holy, that was like, how does she get that again? She got it on like against Nikki like the week before, right?
Yeah.
That thing was, my wife was like, damn, is that real?
I
was like,
yeah. Yeah. She got popped pretty good in the eye. I like women's wrestling, but this feud right here.
Gonna be another hater, man.
I'm not being a hater.
Could be a hater. Couple haters.
No, be a hater. I'm not a huge Nikki Bella fan. I think that she's kind of where she is.
She's the best entrance to the ring ever when she rips that shirt open. I'm like,
okay, that's fine, but you have to think, you know.
Oh, you mean wrestling? Oh, I'm sorry.
I get it. She's worked hard, but you kind of got to think that she might be riding on her boyfriend's coattails a little bit.
Yeah, but the thing is everybody's freaking dating nowadays. I mean, like everybody is dating. I mean, Renee Young and Ambrose. I mean, because kayfabe doesn't exist anymore and everything is reality TV and social media, it seems like everybody is, Rusev, Lana, Renee Ambrose, Nikki, the Bellas and Cena and Bryan. I know there's others. Becky Lynch is dating married guy down in NXT, didn't she?
Yeah, it's kind of irrelevant because he's no longer in the company and she's suspended, but Paige and Del Rio too.
Paige and Del Rio. I mean, there's so many of these, and it makes sense. You're traveling all that time, and you know you have a common interest.
Got to shack up with someone, right?
Exactly, right? I mean,
yeah, you know, pretty good selections to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, they're both parties are attractive, and you know you don't know what you're going to be getting into with meeting some random girl at a hotel who's trying to get like the baby and the money or. Got herpes or, you know what I mean? You just don't, or guys for that matter, for the women. I'll say this, Carmelo, I feel like has come into her own. I'm not saying she's the best wrestler. I still don't like her character as much. She's toned down the whole, the Long Island queen. And she's kind of slowly but surely each week, she's separating herself from Enzo and Kaz. I think it's smart the way they're doing it. It's not a complete makeover, so you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. But it's a subtle one. And she's very good on the mic.
Yeah.
I mean, she's very good on the mic. So, I mean, I didn't mind the story with her and Nikki. They actually brought it. I thought they were kicking the crap out of it. It was cheesy as hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fire extinguisher was a little over the top, but I was engaged. I wanted to see how it was going to end. I wanted to see how it was going to be booked, and that's good. Which then goes into the main event on the women's card, Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss. And Dixon is a huge Alexa Bliss fan.
And he should be. I mean, she's fantastic.
You guys love her, man. Everybody loves her. And I get into conversations with this with my friends, with Twitter peeps. I'm not a fan of her. Let me rephrase that. I wasn't a fan of her until this match.
Yeah.
This match, like, I was like, okay, I get it.
I think a lot of people are just like, oh, she's so hot, so I'm going to be a fan of her, and she's short and has a huge butt and all this stuff. And, well, that's true. She's also very talented, and not only just in the ring, but her facial expressions that she uses, the way she can talk on the mic. She's kind of a total package, a little tiny package, but at the same time, that's, you know, it's kind of what the SmackDown brand needed besides having, you know, Nikki Bella to lead the force. They needed someone to come in, and Becky Lynch really wasn't doing it. And obviously Alexa's really over with the fans, especially on the male side.
But she gets boos, and that's key. For a heel, she gets boos.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense for Becky's character to chase the belt.
Yeah.
She became stale. The belt became stale when she had it. Nobody's rooting for a heel. The big money storylines are always when the face has to chase a heel. And for her to lose, and she didn't get pinned, she didn't submit, so it didn't hurt Becky's character. She got put through a table. It was a nice powerbomb by Alexa and made her strong. And so that storyline you want to see continue. And you could see Alexa having the reins of the women's division, and it adds something new. It adds a new dimension. It took everyone by surprise. Nobody thought it was that she was going to win. She's just one of those characters, actors, wrestlers, where she can snap into her persona on Talking Smack after TLC. You know, she's there like literally just hand gripping the belt and, you know, tears in her eyes and talk about her parents. It's the first time her parents have ever seen her wrestle for E ever in person, and she wins the belt. So you have this, and then all of a sudden, Renee asks her a question about Becky, and then boom, she goes right into character, mm-hmm. like Queen Bee. You know, I love it. And I'm glad they're getting away from that whole Harley Quinn thing. I thought that was super cheesy, trying to hit something at the moment. And she doesn't look like Harley Quinn. She doesn't act like Harley Quinn. It just wasn't her persona. So
that was cool for like the pay-per-view that she did it on. And, you know, it kind of goes back to, I don't know if she necessarily did this because of Rey Mysterio doing it back in the day, but when Rey used to dress up as different like superheroes and stuff, like the one.
Oh, I forgot about
that. He was Flash for one. I think it might have been WrestleMania or something.
Kind of like what Baylor does with the different demons, depending on where he is in the city. Yeah, I mean, they're going more.
I didn't like the Harley Quinn thing, though.
No, I mean, they're going more with she's the witch of the roster. So they're kind of going, like, they keep calling her a Disney character, like the Disney witch. Why, I have no idea. But at the end of the day, the match was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was, excuse me, I'm still battling a sickness. The match was awesome, man. Like, I didn't know who was going to win. There were a lot of false finishes. There was a lot of power moves, the teasing with the tables. And then when it happened, you were like, oh, crap. Yeah. She won like that. Was that supposed to happen?
Right.
Oh, damn. That was I just thought it was very well booked. And, the crowd was into it, which was nice to see.
I thought it was well booked, and I enjoyed it.
I'm not saying it's Charlotte Sasha.
No, I get that, but it's tough, I think, for women to have a tables match. I think that maybe table matches should be reserved for big finishes and stuff, and I understand like a powerbomb from the apron might be considered a big finish in women's wrestling.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one, man.
But
that was impressive.
When I see a tables match, like I really want to see someone get like their ass thrown through a table. Like
which is a perfect segue into our main event.
Yeah.
AJ Styles was defending his title against Mr. Dean Ambrose in a TLC match. And what were your thoughts?
This is going to be probably a very unpopular opinion, but I'm really not a fan of James Ellsworth. I think it's old already.
I feel like the more and more you talk, the more and more you are Dixon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, women's wrestling, hate Ellsworth. I mean, he went on a rant about how Ellsworth should hang himself.
Wow, that's a little aggressive for my taste, but, it's just, I like the whole, when he first came out and faced Braun, the whole, if you have two hands, you have a fighting chance and all that, but now he's just becoming like a distraction, and I'd like it to just be AJ versus Dean without the little, mascot on the side. I understand why he's there, and I like his grind and coming up from the indies and starting off as really nothing and then finally making it to the WWE and getting a full contract, and that's cool for him and his family and all that. But when he came out and pushed Ambrose, I was just like, yeah, I wanted AJ to win and everything, but that's going to be the finish. Like, that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth. I get where they're going with it to keep him on TV and keep that feud alive. But at the same time, I was just like, I would have liked it more, I think, if he didn't interfere. It was just AJ maybe put Ambrose through a table or something. Or, by the way, the spot with the 450 splash, probably one of the coolest spots in wrestling right now in 2016. I think it might have been spot of the year.
Okay, so many thoughts I have on this match, and I'll try not to ramble on. One, AJ Styles is the best I've ever seen in the ring, and his persona is catching up to his ring style. I know everybody puts Shawn Michaels number one or Ric Flair number one. For me, right now, he is doing the best. And has anybody ever had a stronger first year in WWE ever? Ric Flair, 92, but not on a consistent match basis like this. It doesn't matter if he's with Miz knocking out his tooth, with Reigns, with Ambrose, with Ellsworth. Everything that he touches and wrestles is freaking gold. Is phenomenal.
I knew you were super excited to see his butt cheek too.
Oh gosh, man! When I saw that hole there, dude, I was just like, what? No, that was the first thing.
I wish he cut his hair. I'll say that.
But I agree. I'm not a fan of the hairstyle, but it fits with that whole soccer mom heel wise. When he goes face, and when he does, it's going to be massive. that I bet you he cuts that hair or at least does something different with it. That's the heel look he has right now. All right, the match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, dude, the way these two, and I'm not an Ambrose fan. I think he has the same 4 or 5 move set. We talk about this weekly. He barely sells anything, and then his Kelly matches. Charlotte. And then all the, but this match was awesome. They both like put their frickin' body through the ringer. I thought it was well paced. It was well executed. It was a well booked match. The high spots, there were so frickin' many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 minute AJ's being put through announce table, and then the next minute he's doing the 450 splash. I mean, you know, and Ambrose is being put through it was through a table, right? He was on a table. So I mean, it was awesome. The Ellsworth angle, I predicted that Ellsworth was going to show up and go heel. And the reason for that is because you needed to, the problem with SmackDown right now is that they do not have a deep roster. If this AJ Ambrose feud ends, where do you send AJ? The rumor is Taker at Royal Rumble. Okay, well, you've got a ways for that because that's not till the end of January. And they did a smart thing with Ellsworth leading up to the TLC match by incorporating Ambrose and AJ's storyline to continue by using Ellsworth as the puppet for Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked all that. I liked, you know, okay, AJ loses, but he was doing it in a way to Ambrose to get under his skin. And I liked it because that felt, I felt like Ambrose or AJ was going to retain the title. So I didn't mind the ending. It added something different. It kept Ambrose strong. It kept the AJ Ambrose storyline where you were able to move it forward. AJ won. He could say he won. But at the end of the day, Ambrose could say, well, hey, you put me through it. Like, you didn't technically beat me. I don't know how a regular match between the two would be. I think they have one more pay-per-view before Royal Rumble.
Roadblock?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's in like another roadblock or whatever. But I thought the whole thing was great. I thought what I loved about it was, too, was that Ellsworth didn't come out and be like, yeah, I'm Team AJ. They made him like a freaking lunatic, that this dude is believing all of his own hype. And that he's not a dick. He's just a guy who actually thinks he has a chance to win. And he is putting himself on the same playing field as Ambrose and AJ, which makes him smarter than Ambrose because he put one over on it. He'll never be able to beat him, but it added a different dimension to his character, which I like. So when he showed up on Talking Smack and he showed up on SmackDown, you got a sense of like, this dude is just like a out there dreamer who thinks like, oh yeah, him and Ambrose are going to be buddies after that. So I thought it was a really awesome match. AJ is just, dude, we are so lucky to be able to see a performer like that in the ring. And he's 39. It's not like he's like 32, 33 in his prime. He's freaking 39 and he's doing this shit.
I have two things to
say.
Unreal. First, I saw AJ wrestle at the On Center the last time WWE came through.
Yeah, last time and, I was sick too.
Yeah, and that was sweet. But I saw AJ wrestle Samoa Joe when TNA came to the fairgrounds when I was younger. And it was just in like a tiny little, I think it might have been like a horse competition arena, like with dirt on the ground and everything. And they just had like this six-sided ring, like six slaps
awesome.
Right in the middle with like a small apron around it and everything. And like a guardrail. I sat front row. And the card was sick. It was AJ and Joe in the main event. And then it was also Christian and Kurt Angle. And Jay Lethal wrestled when he was doing his machismo gimmick. It was a sick show. But AJ is in ring work is just impeccable. Like he's never off a beat. He's just he could put like you and I over in the ring.
Oh yeah.
We could mm-hmm. go in there with no experience and AJ would make like a decent match. And I forgot what I was going to say.
Your second point?
rookies. I know, I'm trying to think what my second point was. Oh, I think you're forgetting about where this program could lead with AJ after, you know, he finishes off Ambrose or whatever. There's a gigantic superstar that's been out for a while who's soon to come back.
Mr. Cena. Who just booked another movie, though, and he's going to be off for a long time. I don't see Cena
scheduled
coming back.
I think he's scheduled to be on, like, the holiday show in the garden, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he'll do the big appearance, but as far as, like, a big storyline, I mean, that could be your Mania match for AJ. But he's gone for a while. He just booked a new movie. I mean, he was already out for a while for his reality show. He's doing SNL this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of going the Rock territory in the sense where he'll show up for, you know, maybe occasional side pay-per-view, but it'll be the bigger one. So
I bet you he's going to come back full-time in time.
He possibly could, but I'm going to disagree in the sense that Hollywood wants him and wants him bad.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's, I mean,
he'll always come back, but as far as a full-time, Cena's the type of guy that won't take somebody's paycheck on SmackDown, but will wrestle the dark match after.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So, I mean, he'll be around. I just don't see, and he will tie Flair's record. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does it at Mania against AJ, which would
suck
for AJ.
That's what I was leading towards.
It would suck because, I mean, that's Vince burying another guy's guy. You know, he'll be 0-2 at Mania.
Could he lost to Jericho first one, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, at that point, you've got to have Joe and Nakamura come up at some point. I mean, you got Bobby Roode to come up. I mean, obviously those are all TNA. Well, two of those guys are TNA, and would that excite anyone?
Austin Aries.
Yeah, well, he's out for a while with his eye injury.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there are people that are coming in. I mean, my boy, Bebe, Adam Cole is a free agent, in December with ROH, and the E has been wanting him for a while, so there's hot rumors that he would come in. I don't know if he would be the next generation NXT, or do they bump him up a little bit? So there's a lot of the great thing about AJ is this: no matter who you put him against, it's going to be awesome. See, I want to see face AJ versus heel Miz.
Oh yeah.
That is freaking, I will tune in to watch that weekly in a pay-per-view because Miz can bring it in the ring and AJ will make him even that much better. And then that storyline and the cheating of the Miz and Maurice, I just think that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be...
Put both guys over in the right way, heel and face.
I'd love to see a ladder match between those two.
Okay, so here's a question now that we're on the Miz. The Miz is Ziggler. They had a pretty good ladder match. You know, he is mocking Daniel Bryan left and right, and that to me is not, if not the second most entertaining storyline. At some point they've got to get their hands on each other. You can't keep continue doing this. Do you see Bryan coming back for one more match at Mania versus The Miz? Because The Miz plays it safe. That's what Bryan is always busting him on. So you're putting him in the ring with somebody who's a veteran who can carry a story, who's great on the mic. There's super heat on the storyline and on Miz, that and Miz could be safe with Daniel Bryan. Do you see a comeback for Mania?
No.
You think he's done?
I think he's done. I mean,
okay, you said that very adamantly. No.
No.
Then why the freak are they continuing to do this week in and week out?
I think it just kind of builds, you know, just another dramatic storyline in on SmackDown, just to have, you know, the general manager, co-general manager, just have some heat.
Have a way to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really think, I mean.
So how does Miz get his comeuppance for dissing DB and using his moveset and his yes chant and his kicks, you know, at some point?
I think they have a scuffle at some point. I don't think it's going to be a full-blown match. I think they're going to get into a little scuffle. I just think, you know, you got to think about long-term, and Daniel Bryan obviously his neck's all jacked up and the concussions and everything, but he's, you know, Bree's quite a ways along with their baby, and, you know, I don't think he's going to want to risk things looking ahead to the future. He's got way too much going for him as a general manager and everything. I kind of figured actually that, you know, once he retired that he would be involved in some capacity. I know he took that short break to kind of get over it and everything, but I don't see them actually having a match, but I could see a scuffle in the future that kind of seals it. And then I could kind of see Daniel Bryan taking the side of someone, maybe, you know, I don't know if AJ turns face, maybe if he like is in the corner with AJ when AJ takes on Miz, something like Maurice. That. Daniel Bryan versus Maurice, the bra and panties match.
Nice.
You never know.
Hey, here's the thing. Everything you said is accurate. And if it was in any other line of entertainment or work, occupation wise, I would say you're right. Never say never in wrestling. I think what they're doing is so smart in the sense that if it happens, if it doesn't happen, okay, they're giving awesome material weekly. But if it does happen, it is going to be mega. And Daniel Bryan doesn't have to do that much crazy stuff in the ring because of the style that is of Miz and because the storyline has been done so well and there's real heat between the guys. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I know no inside info. I just think that if there was one guy that Daniel Bryan could go up against and do it on the Mania stage, I mean, you got to think. I mean, Sting has issues. Taker has issues. You know, it's the thing with Daniel Bryan was it was a concussion. It wasn't like, okay, if you like an edge, if you roll your neck one more way, you could die. So I think that he is going. I think that he's going to come back for one more match, and maybe it is, with a bunch of stipulations so he can't get hurt. But if you do a scuffle and that's it, then that means people want it even more. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's all about money. And if the doctors clear him to do one match and that's his sayonara and he wins, I mean, picture this. He beats Miz. He wins the IC title. He goes there. He's the general manager still, lays the belt down and says, okay, now I'm officially retired and I'm going to have an open tournament for the belt after Mania. And then you have awesome call-ups with Aries or Rude or all these guys that could come and go for the belt. That, to me, would be awesome to see. So I don't know. I feel like you got to do something with it. Anything that you liked on Raw or SmackDown this week?
I think if I had to choose, this is kind of grouping in Raw and SmackDown together. I think my top three wrestlers right now have to be AJ number one, Miz number two.
Oh, the little Timmy Forbes power rankings.
Number three.
Okay. Who was number two? I was talking over you. Sorry.
Number two is Miz. I love his cocky heel.
No hating on this side.
Yeah, I love that he plays perfectly into that whole reality movie star type gimmick. And, you know, he's just with Maurice on his arm and everything. It's just, mm-hmm. It's just perfect. Hollywood couple, just perfect. Number three, it's the gift of Jericho.
Yeah.
I think honestly, if AJ didn't have such a great year, Jericho might be wrestler of the year.
Finally.
Because
finally, somebody who loves Jericho. That's another one that Dixon hates.
Dude, with a passion. He's so the thing about Jericho is, you know, he came in back, you know, debuted on Raw, interrupted The Rock, had his hair in a ponytail on top of his head, had the sparkly silver shirt that he used to wear, and he had that gimmick. And, you know, he went heel and went face a couple times, mainly heel, but he's reinvented himself over and over again. He came back, you know, remember when he came back and interrupted Orton?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, he had the short hair with the flashy jackets, and then he went into wearing the trunks instead of the tights just to kind of get some more heel heat and everything. And then now this whole, the list of Jericho and the gift of Jericho, drink it in, man, and it,
man,
and stupid idiot, just he's just completely changed. It kind of reminds me in a way of what Matt Hardy's done with his broken Matt Hardy gimmick and the whole deletion and everything, how he's reinvented himself. Because Matt Hardy, after he got hurt and was like, remember when he got hurt and he had the stomach issues and was all like kind of fat and bloated and everything? He just completely reinvented himself again and put himself in like top tier talent. Like Matt Hardy was never considered like I mean, he won the ECW championship a while back and everything, but he was never the top guy. Now I understand TNA is a little depleted, and I think he could have the same impact, no pun intended, if he went back to the E and everything. But he's completely reinvented himself with this Delete, Brother Nero, Broken Matt Hardy with his son, which I still think is kind of weird that he brings him into the ring.
Yeah, it is.
But it just, it's just amazing that Jericho is 40-something and he's completely reinvented himself again and just keeps getting better and better and better and better and better as he goes on. And I love the feud with Owens. I love that they're, you know, starting to, you know, chirp back and forth at each other. I think it's going to lead to some awesome stuff. I like them as a tag team, but I also like them just fighting against each other. And I just think that between AJ, Miz, and Jericho, like, those three are the hottest going right now.
Yeah, I mean, first, AJ number one, if we're going to do a off-the-cuff power ranking. AJ one. Two, I would put Jericho. And three, I would have a tie between The Miz and on Raw, Rusev. I think Rusev's doing with his character, he can do humor, he can be a badass, especially on Raw, you know, kicking the crap out of Enzo. I think, and it's, you know, ironic that both of them have female valets that can help them out with The Miz and Rusev. On Jericho, he is one of the few wrestlers that I know, and, you know, if Dixon was sitting here across from me, he would say, what do you know? You've only watched one brand for a decade plus, a couple decades. But he has reinvented himself many times. You know, when he came back and he didn't talk forever and he was got a huge pop and then it turned heel. And then, you know, he was a corporate guy always wearing suits. I mean, what he's done now is he's so comfortable in his skin that it's, and I think because of his work on his podcast and his web TV show and movies, he is just, he is such a good actor. And you can see how good of an actor he is when he's playing off another good actor with Kevin Owens. I will disagree with you on this. I hate the last 2 weeks of them breaking up. I hate it. I wasn't ready for it. I don't think it was needed.
I cried for 3 hours.
I just, because here's the thing. It's like, I don't, why break them up and then you have them feuding cross, cross matches with Reigns and Rollins? Like, this is what's going to happen. They're going to be, this is, if I was booking, this is what I would do. Make it feel like they are against each other. Lead the audience, lead the other wrestlers down this mindset. Then there's going to be a match. It's going to be Reigns and Rollins versus Jericho and Owens. That's going to, I bet you that will be at the next pay-per-view, because then at the Rumble, you can have the big championship match. And I think you think they're going to break up, and it was all a scam. It was all for something, because I just, to me, that's the most entertaining thing on Raw right now. If you break them up and Owens is by himself getting his ass kicked every week by Rollins and Reigns, and Jericho's by himself and he's doing really well, but he gets screwed over by Rollins and Reigns, then it's just like, okay, it's just the same crap. It's Reigns winning. Rollins has no direction right now. He was my number one draft pick. If I had to redraft it, obviously it would be AJ, but he has no direction. He's still awesome in the ring, but he has no voice. He has no character right now. You don't know what he's doing. Reigns is just, okay, a one-note hot dude for the ladies, and the kids love him, and he does the same moves, and there's no heat there. So the reason why it was working on Raw for the last month is because you had Owens and Jericho working together. You not only had the comedy, but you had it make sense in and outside the ring. When you, now that you lose that, is Owens feuding with Jericho now? Is Owens feuding with Reigns because that's his next match? Now Owens is going with Rollins because Rollins got screwed over. Jericho gets his ass kicked by Rollins, but they don't see each other. So now Jericho's against Reigns for the belt. It's just, it's all over the place, and I lose it when it's when Rollins and Reigns comes into the storyline, because now all I care about is, are they or aren't they? And that hurts if you have the are they or aren't they bigger than the two, bigger than the matches for the belts.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go.
Did you get AJ in the draft?
No. I went, my number one pick was Kevin Owens, and Dixon's was Brock.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then my two, idiot, because I thought he was going to go with Rollins first. I went with Rollins, and then he went with AJ. But at that time, AJ was, he hadn't done the John Cena yet. He was in the Jericho stuff. We did this back in April.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, right after Mania and the Jericho feud, and it was, and then he went into Miz. So I'm like, okay, I could get him, you know, later on. I didn't think he was going to pick him, Dixon, but no, I didn't. But I mean, Kevin Owens and Rollins is my top two. So
DXN, smart that. Guy. He knows his stuff with AJ Styles.
He all right, man. I mean, just kidding, Dixon. I love you. Anything on SmackDown that you liked? Anything in the wrestling world? Did you see the Ring of Honor pay-per-view? Anything with TNA?
I've really, to be honest with you, I haven't been watching too much of wrestling other than
the E.
But I'm probably going to check out Total Deletion because Jim Ross gave like a really good review on it, said that it's like brilliant. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on the Hardy compound. I've always been a huge
2 hours.
I've been a huge Hardy mark for a long, long time.
So like, do you think, though, you can sustain what were small vignette video pieces, and then you'd have a match leading up each week, 2 hours of nothing but the Hardys, and have it make sense and be entertaining? Because they're not breaking away to the ring. It's literally 2 hours out at the compound and whatever's there. It's like a mini movie.
Yeah. No, I think they can do it. And the reason why is because they have every wrestling fan that watches Impact right here. And I know no one can see it, but I'm pointing to the palm of my hand because they are so...
I thought you were pointing to the five fingers because there's only five fans left.
They are so over with the fans of Impact Wrestling that they could literally go into the Hardy compound and wrestle for 5 minutes and then sit there and stare at the screen and Matt yes. can go on and
you're right.
Max can crawl across the Here's grass my and everyone would be like, 5 stars.
Here's my concern. Yes, you're right. The TNA diehards will love it. TNA diehards pretty much love the crap that they were putting out pre-Broken Matt Hardy. My fear is that right now he could write a ticket to any wrestling organization. And there's already rumors about how Triple H wants him in the E, him and Jeff Hardy back together, this storyline, this gimmick, because Matt owns it. If you go down this road where it's oversaturation and these 2 hours suck and people kind of, you lose the mystique and the quality that you've been having behind the storyline and the characters, you can lose it like this in the wrestling world. And so that's my concern. Am I going to tune in? Hell yeah. DVR is set. I'll probably try to watch live, get some popcorn, get a little vodka soda water, and I'm good to go. But I'm also nervous as hell. 2 hours of that. Am I going to be 45 minutes in and be like, what the hell am I watching?
See, I don't think it's going to be the case just because.
I like your positivity.
Yeah.
It's weird having positivity on the other side of the screen here.
I may be a little biased just because I've always loved the Hardys. Like, I was the kid that had, like, the, you know, wrestling on my trampoline with my brother doing Swanton bombs. And
you really did that?
Yeah. We used to wrestle on our trampoline.
You're a big dude, man. Like, did you break stuff?
No.
Not your body, like beds and.
No, we used to wrestle on
What's the craziest wrestling move you ever did?
We kept it pretty limited because I didn't want anything too crazy to happen, because if you wrestle on a trampoline, like you get suplex on a trampoline, like you go flying into the air, and I was too nervous about like falling off the edge and like landing on the ground and everything. So we never did anything too crazy. It was always pretty limited, or we carefully did things. I mean, you know, a simple elbow drop makes both people on a trampoline go flying into the air. So it was kind of tough to even do that. And it was just stupid playing around when I was younger with my brother. I don't even think you know about this, but when I was in high school, I had some other buddies in high school. They created HKW, which was Hardcore Kids Wrestling. And it was, we recorded it at my buddy's house.
In New York?
Yeah. At my buddy's house. And we just had like.
Did it have a following?
A mattress? No. I mean, maybe in like high school, but.
Please tell me you have the VHS tapes or the mini DVDs of this.
I might be able to find something on YouTube.
All right, do it. I'm serious. I can re-edit it and put it out, and we can release that.
I don't think there's actual like full-on matches. I only had a couple matches because it was more so some buddies of mine that had created it like when they were younger, and it just kind of developed, and they had storylines and everything.
What you need to do is get those same guys, or you and me, or Dixon, and then we kind of like what Jim Ross does for New Japan. We watch it and we call it like it's a live match between kids. That is epic, dude. People would be watching that left and right.
My buddy Trevor, he went by the name Fleming. It's his last name. He had a sick, sick, sick Canadian Destroyer. And he used to do that. That was his finisher. And we'd have like ladder matches and stuff. And there was like an old car like in the back of his backyard that we'd like slam each other on and stuff, so it was really cool. But
you
one
lived
time
out in the country, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Mexico.
It
so
seems like it's the country people that do these crazy crap on cars and off buildings. And
yeah, I mean, it wasn't really like backyard wrestling because there wasn't like blood and we weren't like smashing each other with chairs and like dropping each other on thumbtacks and stuff. But one time my buddy Justin put me in the Walls of Jericho and he like sat on my back and I didn't expect it. And like my back like cracked like all the way up. Like I thought he just like broke my back because I had to like lay there and I just like couldn't move for a while. So I didn't really do anything ever too crazy on the trampoline. Like I'd swanton onto my brother. Like I said, I was a huge Hardy Mark, but the craziest thing that ever happened to me was definitely when I got like a full on Walls of Jericho. Like he was probably didn't weigh more than me, but he was fatter than me. No offense. And, he just like sat on my back and just like crushed my back. And I'll never forget that because I thought for like a slight moment that I was like paralyzed.
Dude, that's stupid.
It was stupid, but it was super fun. And I, like I said, I wasn't a huge part of it. They had their storylines and their gimmicks and all their championship belts and everything, like legitimate like replica belts that they would buy. And
see, when I was growing up, nobody watched wrestling other than me. Like none of my friends. It was kind of that, oh, you watch wrestling. You even like, you know, and I was an athlete and did all that, but I would get ragged on. So I didn't have that bond that you had. So it's cool, crazy mofos, but that's cool. One last thing before we wrap it up. What did you think of Charlotte and Rick on Raw, the last segment?
See, you know,
I must say this. I might have to take out Rusev. I'm doing it right now.
She's number three?
Rusev's out. She's number three.
Even before Miz?
She's the top heel on the roster.
Yeah.
She's the main storyline. Now they're going to do a 60-minute match.
Yeah, Iron
Sasha,
Man, yeah. That's...
The Raw match closes. They're closing the segments the last couple of weeks. Like, she is their number one heel, and she's awesome at it. Yeah. And her matches are really good, too.
I think it's about time that she has a little bit of a feud with her dad. I think it was kind of, you know, it got stale as him being, like, her cheerleader in the side of the ring and everything. I'm curious to see where it goes, though, because it's not like they're going to have any, like, intergender matches. I mean, it's just kind of now that Flair's in Sasha's corner.
So it's going to be about.
I don't think it really adds that much to the storyline. I think it's just kind of an added feature. I think really the main storyline is obviously Charlotte and Sasha and what they've been able to do and the whole women's revolution and Mick Foley as GM putting them on last and all that stuff and him kind of taking over and making it, and Stephanie too, making women's wrestling really be a thing now when it was just bra and panty matches and, you know, the occasional.
That's why it's entertaining now. I mean, it was entertaining then, and I still love the sex appeal. Yeah. I think what's going to happen long term, I don't see it happen in the next couple of weeks. If the Iron Man match is where she wins back the belt, it's the culmination of this awesome feud this year. I think it's going to be a big swerve and Rick turns on Sasha and goes back to Charlotte, and it was all a ruse. I think long term that's the way to go because you wanted to see if Charlotte could stand on her own. She did, but unfortunately, there's nobody else in that division right now that can step up to go against Sasha because Bayley's a face and Sasha right now is a face. So unless you're turning Charlotte good girl, which I don't see it happening, then you have to keep those two feuding. And I see Rick being in that corner for Sasha to give her a little extra oomph week in and week out. And add a little new dimension. But at the end of the day, when Charlotte retains her belt, Ric Flair will be standing in her corner holding her arm up. That's my prediction.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think it could all come back full circle like that. I just don't know, you know, where does women's wrestling go from here on Raw after? Do you think Bayley starts feuding with Sasha or Charlotte? Or I mean those two are obviously the top dogs, so what happens after that?
I mean, you have to get Bayley in there. You got to get Nia Jax in there.
Did Asuka come up? Asuka? How do you say that?
You're going to ask me. Do you not listen to our show? I literally get that wrong every single time.
I think it's Asuka.
Asuka? I know. I think it's Azuka. I have no idea. But she's awesome.
She is awesome.
But, I mean, if they call her up, the problem with... and it's the same with the tag teams on Raw, is that they obviously have more bodies, but the women's division and the tag team division, I feel, are deeper and have more players on the SmackDown roster, and it's a shorter show. So for me, all you have right now is three. You have Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte, and Sasha, Charlotte's a money. This is the type of feud that you're going to see a DVD made of it. 5 years from now, and it'll be a network special about how these two changed women's wrestling and the year long thing. I mean, my question more is, if you do the Iron Man match, Iron Woman match before Mania, where does this lead you? What type of match at Mania? What are the stakes? Is it these two, or by that time is Bayley a huge face and you put her up against Charlotte? I think what they need to do is, I don't think Sasha's comfortable being face. And I think that she needs to go heel. I could almost see, if you really wanted to add this to another, you know, take this storyline to another level, is turn Sasha heel and make Charlotte and Rick face, because everybody wants to cheer Rick anyway. And Sasha can be her, you know, the boss character that she was down on NXT. And then you can add in a Bayley, and you can add in a Charlotte feud with that. That would take this level, kind of like what The Rock did, you know, turning on Mick Foley like you never saw it happening, and he went corporate. I mean, there's so many different – yes, and I got my Rock reference in. There's so many different ways to go with it, but only if you can kind of change up Sasha. She's a little stale and still trying to find her face persona.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly – I didn't get to, because we missed it earlier. So we missed last week's show. So if you remember, I'm really liking this whole Enzo Rusev stuff back and forth with Lana. And at the end of the day, it's going to lead to a Rusev Big Cass match, which will be really entertaining. I think especially I think Rusev is the most underrated guy in all of WWE.
I'm fine with Rusev going against Big Cass. Just keep Cass off the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad.
Well, that's why he has Enzo there. Right. He'll be his voice piece if he's, you know, didn't die this week. So there was this, and I'm sure you saw it on Twitter, but I had to say it. So as seen on last week's Raw, Enzo cut a promo on Lana, and Rusev and joked that Lana spent her Thanksgiving dinner thinking about a certified G stuffing her turkey. Summer Rae tweeted a response regarding Lana. Oh, at WWE All Day 21, which is Enzo, it's not turkey, it's roast beef. And you can't stuff that. Hashtag Raw. Ooh, Summer Rae talking about some roast beef for Lana. And that's how we're going to end this part one of the show.
Well, that's good. And just in case any listeners want to follow Enzo, it's actually WWE EA All Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. WWE AALLDAY 21. Enzo, you'll use a plug.
Enzo, there you go. Murray.
So,
bada bing, bada boom.
We'll do the BS News Report and all that other fun stuff when Dixon and I do the show on Sunday. I just wanted to kind of get a little bit more of a different wrestling insight in case Dixon can't make it this week, and talk a little female wrestling and some other stuff. Chris Jericho, which.
Drink it in, man.
Drink it in. And Tim, you didn't make my list. Good job. Thanks for
stupid idiot.
Thanks for helping me out this on a short time frame. It's a pleasure, appreciate man. It.
Instead of the young boy in for a little while.
Well, you know, the millions and millions of listeners and, you know, the bebes out there, they all they want to listen to us. So check us out at B Show Wrestling on Twitter and look for a new show dropping this weekend as well.